Welcome, Yusuf.
Thank you. We meet again. We began a conversation possibly a month or two ago. And we were quite angered initially when we had spoken to you, and we were denying that anger of how all the changes that are occurring around us and to the sphere itself.
Yeah. What you thought was your stable way of life is changing.
Dramatically being impacted, mm-hmm. Yes. That was all we could perceive. Mm-hmm. And we were denying the fact that we were angry as well. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to thank you for pointing that out to us.
Yeah.
And you have opened our eyes. Mm-hmm. So we are back in this auditorium. Mm-hmm. Willing to talk to you again, if you're willing to talk to us.
I'm definitely willing to talk with you.
Mm. And we have a number of spirits with us, so we wanted to open the possibility that others could jump in.
Sure.
And chat with whoever else is in this room willing to talk. And again, sorry for my interference with you, as I was just experimenting to see if that was possible. What I wanted to know was, why am I starting to feel excited about the changes that are occurring?
Rather than angry.
Hmm. Mm. We know we have not embraced God. You can clearly see and feel that. Mm-hmm. We have done a number of investigations. Mm-hmm. We've gone right back to the full extent that we could have, to Amon and Amen, to see the link to this God that you refer to. Mm-hmm. And we have not discovered that link through them.
Discuss that with Amon and Amen, or did you just discuss, you work through the link through historical records?
Correct. Yep. We have not, and this is what we have come to realise, we have not called upon them themselves to come and speak to us directly.
Yes.
So,
can I just propose to you something regarding this? There is this desire in you still to investigate for yourselves rather than trust information that is given to you. And while that has been very advisable on your previous forms of investigation and advisable method of progressing to the sixth dimension, it is not going to get you any higher than the sixth dimension. It's not going to help you progress beyond the sixth dimension.
I'm coming to realise that. Mm-hmm. It felt that we needed to discount our process, mm-hmm. and this is part of the process. Although it is an extremely slow process now that we...
Yeah, I put to you actually that it's not... It doesn't have to be a part of the process, but you are making it a part of the process because of some emotions that you feel.
We feel quite comfortable with the process.
Yeah. Mm. And the reality is that the process of discovering God is going to feel very uncomfortable for you. And because you're addicted to this comfortable process that you have been in up to this point, in terms of discovering the truth of the universe, or what you perceive to be the truth of the universe, and you are quite reticent at this point still to use this process that our celestial friends can talk to you about to discover the truth about God. The reality is that until the soul perception opens in a completely different form than using your intellectual process of discovery, you will not be able to actually understand God nor understand the soul. And it's this ability to experiment in a completely different direction that is going to assist you the most. And you could choose to do this almost instantly, but the issue you face is that you've been resistive to choosing those processes in favour of processes that you've already well developed in your own progression.
This is all that we have known. Mm. We've marvelled by the fact that we thought it's all thought created everything. Mm. And to contemplate even the slightest, to have the slightest inclination that we need to remove ourselves from this process scares us quite extensively.
Yes.
We were listening to what you were saying to the others just before.
Yes.
we understand that we would, by deduction, by logical thought, be more arrogant than they are, be more blocked, or be more non-receptive. So that is the truth, is it not?
Yes, that is the truth.
So this is all what we have to face.
Can I put to you that actually you are involved in what I would call one of the greatest sins that a person can commit, if we can use the term sin, to be missing the mark of perfection. And that is the sin of rejecting God. Because while you reject God, the automatic penalty, if you can say the word penalty, it's just a soul-based thing that happens as a result of the rejection of God, is that this path of you cannot ever open, that you need to open before it will actually, you will be able to investigate the different paths of God and the different paths of your own soul. So it's sort of like, while you remain closed to God and close to the process of investigating God and receiving love from God, you also then remain closed in your perceptions of understanding large amounts of information that only your soul that is activated in this process can understand. Your intellect will be completely unable to understand these truths that the soul will be able to perceive. And unfortunately, while you're using your intellect to attempt to understand, you are not going to engage the process that is going to begin the way of understanding, if I could call it that. The reality is that your current way of understanding will become obsolete. And that's what is the difficulty you're currently facing, giving up your current way of understanding. And the feeling that if they become obsolete, what are we going to be left with? And what I'm proposing to you is that what you're going to be left with is a far more powerful way of understanding the universe. It will include logic, but it will be far more powerful than just logic.
Just the term that you use, we reject, such a harsh term.
Which term is that?
Rejecting God.
Yeah. Well, and even though many of you acknowledge the existence of God intellectually, emotionally you have yet to connect to God. And in that, and the only reason why you are yet to connect to God is because of your own rejection of God. So there's something going on inside of your soul that's causing you to reject God from an emotional perspective rather than an intellectual one. So, and I put to you that the primary emotion is this emotion of self-reliance versus God-reliance. At this stage, you have developed a mastery of self, and also you have become extremely self-reliant. But in this process, you are rejecting the possibility then of you still being a child of God, who God can connect to and educate. So what you will, and many of you have had this viewpoint, that you've become God, have you not? Like, in a way, you've viewed yourself as that.
But we came to that belief.
Yes. But the reality is that you will never become God in the sense of comparable with God. God will always be greater than you. And no matter how long you progress in your infinite progression, you will never become that God or a comparable with that God. So the reality is quite different to your own current intellectual perception. And when I use the term reject God, I use it specifically and also purposefully. You reject God by not connecting to God at this different level emotionally. What you're doing is you're intellectualizing your definition of God and placing your definition of God upon God. You are not learning from God about God. And it is a condition of arrogance. In fact, you are, in a way, you are even more arrogant to believe that you can define God rather than allow God to define himself or herself to you. Did you see the difference?
I do see the difference. It is a template that we've created for ourselves.
Yes.
And that's what we teach. throughout the universe.
And the reality is that template is flawed, because what it does is it causes you to define God rather than allow God to define herself to you.
So can we ask why, without having asked Amon and Amin themselves, why did they choose to be self-reliant? Because is that not a trait within mankind that we have fully embraced, to be where we currently are?
Well, I agree that it is a trait in mankind, but it's not a trait that was placed there by God. It was a trait, it was the very first, in fact, human error that was created, was this error of self-reliance. And because of it being so long entrenched in the human race, it's become almost the modus operandi of every human to become self-reliant.
We feel that we're the epitome of that.
You are the epitome of self-reliance, I agree. But you will not gain any further progression, because you are also already at the furthest extent that you can progress at of self-reliance.
So this is the pinnacle as to why, possibly the reason why we are now investigating and seeking to talk to you.
So what I would suggest to you is that this process of self-reliance, which has been long gathered over many years, for many of you hundreds if not thousands of years, this process of self-reliance is now severely limiting you in regards to your potential. You know, for many of you, that you have not now progressed for many thousands of years.
Correct.
And so that means that you have become stagnant in your own progression. Now, as you know from your investigation of God's universe, stagnation is not a condition anywhere in the universe. So if it's a condition inside of a person, then there is an issue with that, because we don't know what's going to happen with regard to the stagnation. The reality is that change is a constant of the universe, and if you're not changing, and many of you believe you've been changing, but now you're starting to see that you haven't been, you've been laterally discovering these things, you've been going sideways, if you like, discovering different things, but the reality is that your condition of love and the condition of truth inside of you has not changed for many of you for many thousands of years.
For what it's worth, we wanted to thank you for showing that to us.
Yeah.
Because we can see that our universe is shrinking, as in the place that we live, not necessarily what is beneath us.
Yes.
That seems to be expanding.
Yes.
So you have made us, we're not just at the crossroads, we feel that we are starting to investigate, as you have stated,
yes,
in a limited form, that we are turning back.
Yes.
One of the things we want to explore with you is this concept of anger.
Yes.
We have seen certain things that would indicate to us that we are quite angry at God itself.
Mm-hmm. And this is what I'm saying is causing the blockage between, emotional blockage between yourself and God.
Could we put a concept to you, whether you could explore that with us? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so with regard to your anger with God, if you allow it, one of the fastest ways to discover reasons for emotions is to actually allow yourself to feel the emotion, and then you very frequently discover your reason for having that emotion. So if I can give an example with this issue you have with God, one of the things you can do is you can just feel the anger that's within you. Now, I know many of you have had a lot of resistance to doing this in the past because you gave up anger many years ago. Mm. And so it's very, very hard for you to go back to feeling that feeling that's still within the soul. But allow yourself just for a moment to feel the anger within the soul, and then just to let the words come out of what that anger generates. Because this will tell us the beliefs you have still about God that are within you.
We are angry that God has, with the concept that God has shut the gate of heaven to us.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of our, that's the first thing that came to me as I started to feel.
So there's a feeling inside of you that he's allowed you to progress to the sixth dimension, but not allowed, or the sixth sphere, but not allowed you to progress any further.
and we'd be angry, and we've said, bugger this, we'll investigate on our own.
Right, yep. Do you feel we're still abandoned. God's rejected you.
Yeah, quite abandoned.
Yeah. And do you feel God has favouritism? Because there's some people that obviously have progress.
Extreme favouritism.
Yeah. Okay.
How can a creator create this diversity?
Yeah. And not have the potential for every person to experience it?
Yes.
Yeah.
As we have stated to you once before, we felt rejected by yourself as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we did not view you as God, we rejected that concept.
Yeah.
As our religion had done that for us.
Yeah.
It's a formal part of our belief.
So, with regard to your concept of God now, if we just investigate that a little further, can you see how your earth life may have also contributed to these beliefs about God?
I'm starting to see that, the linkage.
Mm-hmm.
Our religion prevented us. Our beliefs are very strong, in a fictitious kind of a way.
Yep. And what were your beliefs when you were on earth about God, if you had any?
God was in all, in everything,
yeah.
In every being, every ounce of everything that we could see, touch, feel.
I'm more thinking, though, not what God was in, but what was God's nature to your concept. So you often saw the destruction of things around you, so what did that make you?
Very punishing.
Yeah.
There was a duality in God.
So this light and dark feeling.
Never felt that, never seen that.
Yeah.
Always felt that we had to prove ourselves to this person. Why do we have to be so subservient to this person?
Yeah.
Or this thing.
Yeah. And these are very much the emotions that Adam and the man felt. This is the reason why they walked away from God as well.
We felt we could control a lot of people and a lot of things.
Yeah. And that you didn't have to sort of live by God's laws.
No. We could create the laws.
Yeah.
And get others to follow us.
Yeah.
Or the religion, the things that were being taught.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we didn't truly, ironically, I did not want to admit this.
Yeah.
I know it was a snicker, but we truly did not believe in what we were teaching ourselves.
Exactly. So when you analyse all those feelings that you have now, can you see that if God is the God that you feel God to be, then of course that doesn't feel to me to be a very pleasant God.
No.
And it also doesn't feel to me to be a God who would be very loving. In fact, that God is less loving than you are. Can you see that?
Yes.
Because at the moment you have learned to not punish, haven't you? And yet that God is punishing. And you have learned to treat everyone equally, but that God's treating people with favouritism.
It's something that we could not understand.
Mm-hmm. So
we can't even understand why we're talking to you now, why we're considering these concepts.
Yes.
Does that make sense to you?
Because you haven't considered them for many long years.
No? Yes. Mm-hmm. Just the fact of us sitting here talking to you, we feel warm.
Mm-hmm.
We feel this warmth to explore this, that it's actually okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel that's wonderful that you want to explore it, and I feel that if you can allow yourself to explore it more carefully. But let's just talk more about God if we can.
Yes.
Because if we examine God based on your current feelings about God, then that would make God less loving than you yourself are.
But none of these feelings are nice.
I agree, but just let them be there for a moment. Just let them be there. Because we want to find their inception, but we also want to find what the truth is, right? So if we look at the feelings you currently have about God, we can see that the feelings that you currently have are that God is a less loving person than you yourself are. Can you see that? That's the current feelings you have about God. Now, logically, that doesn't make very much sense. If the progression, your own progression, has been based upon love, then it would make sense that the person who created the progression that you've done up to now, would the person who created the laws that actually control that progression, must be in a more loving space than the person who are progressing.
There's another point. We feel that those laws were unjust. Everyone needed to be treated equally. there's another error. Is that the case?
Well, this is what I'm saying, is that currently your perception of God is certainly distorted based upon what you're perceiving to be error. Does that make sense to you? Like, and if you can just cast your mind back to other times when you believed something to be true, and then later on you realised it wasn't true and you had to give it up. If you cast your mind back to those times, can you see that there's been many times when you believed something to be true with your whole heart, and then you had to come to an awareness that it wasn't true?
Yes.
Now, what I'm putting to you is that currently inside of yourself, inside of your feelings, there are a whole set of beliefs about God that you believe to be true. And what I'm suggesting to you, that these beliefs are not true, but they are your feelings about God that need to be released in order to have a connection with God. So what's been preventing you from having this connection with God that I described to the other 50 spirits we were talking to, what's preventing you from this connection is in fact your own beliefs about God. Does that make sense? And those beliefs about God are not your fault in the sense that they weren't created by you inside of yourself, but rather they were created by your environment when you were growing up on earth and then your progression through the spirit world. What I'm suggesting to you is that even though those beliefs are within you, they are not the correct beliefs about God. And I can actually very rapidly prove to you that they are not the correct beliefs about God. Because all I need to do is ask a person who has progressed further than yourself to come to you and for you to feel his nature. And when you feel his nature, what do you feel?
So this brings up another fear. What is the compounding impact of that belief, those beliefs, to all our other beliefs?
Well, of course, if you don't have the correct belief about the creator of the universe, it's going to be very, very difficult for you to discover the truth about any other thing in the universe. And if you can't connect with the creator of the universe, because you have different feelings of rage or anger or other emotions with the creator, you are not going to be able to be taught by the creator of the universe. And so therefore you're going to have to discover everything yourself. You're going to be forced into this process of discovering for yourself, because you're closing off the only other option, which is listening to what God wants to tell you about the truth. So what happened very early in your life on earth, I suggest to you, is that you became very close to there being a God who could educate you and connect to you and love you. And as a result of that closeness towards God, you now are only left with one other option, and that is the process of discovering for yourself.
Yeah, love of yourself.
Yeah. And while it's been great that you've developed this love of yourself within yourself, you have closed this whole other aspect of learning, which was, it was available to you right from the beginning. But unfortunately, you didn't utilise it. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
Now, even now, while we're speaking, you are not utilising this other form of learning. And so God is not being selective with you. God is just saying to you, there is this whole area of learning that you are only capable of learning when you become God-reliant, and you're only capable of learning when you activate these soul perceptions that I've been speaking with the other group of spirits. And while you remain resistive to developing those particular perceptions of becoming God-reliant, it is impossible for you to ever progress beyond where you are. So God is saying to you that God is not actually partial, but rather God has a certain set of, there are only a certain way of learning about God that you must personally activate through your free will before you can learn about God in this manner. And unless you're willing to engage that particular process, you are never going to get to understand God or get beyond the sixth sphere of the spirit world. And that is your personal choice. God's not saying to you, I'm precluding you from going to the seventh dimension or above. But what he is saying to you, that unless you open a certain part of yourself that involves the understanding of the seventh dimension and above, you will never be able to get there.
So did God actually close the gates of heaven to us?
No. God has yet to close the gates of heaven.
So you are saying that it is us, ourselves,
it is that you have not yourself through your choice, yeah, that is closing the entry into the seventh sphere and into the eighth sphere and beyond. You yourselves, through your current choices, are making this choice to close yourself to that progression.
It is a big admission to make.
That you, as being the primary person, deciding the outcome of your life. Although, when you think about it, this is what you've always believed anyway. It
makes logical sense. Mm. Because we have controlled our entire life.
You have. There's this aspect of yourself that you've been resisted to discovering, because you've had plenty of opportunities in the past to discover it. You've been resisted to discovering it because of some pride or arrogance and other types of emotions of anger and rage with God and those kind of emotions. And those emotions have prevented you from discovering this alternative method of progression, and as a result, that alternative method of progression is not available to you. And it will not become available to you while you are closed in this manner.
Now I seem to understand it logically. Mm-hmm. As to why we are excited about the possibility of growing.
Yeah.
So that this is the avenue that we must embrace.
Yes.
Intellectually we understand that.
Yes.
And feelings are arising.
Yes.
But we feel we need a bit of time.
Well, I feel what's happening with the feelings that are arising, if I can discuss that with you for a moment. What's happening with the feelings that are arising is you are judging them. You see, because you've become so used to controlling your emotions through your intellect, now that you're having to experience emotions that you believed weren't inside of you, for many of you, you actually believed you were over those emotions by now. And so, because you have been resisted to feeling, you're resisted to feeling those emotions because you're judging them so severely. Now, my suggestion to you is that you need to stop judging these emotions as negative so much and start seeing them as gateways into your true beliefs inside of your soul. They are the way to discover what you really feel, and when you release what you really feel, you will then be able to discover the truth, God's truth. But at this point in time, these emotions are preventing you from wanting to have a longing for God. At this point, you are blocked towards wanting a longing for God, and as a result of that, you're not engaging the only thing that can open your soul to further understanding.
So is this the reason why we are automatically, because it is an automatic process for us as part of our existence,
mm-hmm.
to close down, to improve our physical being?
When you say, see, up until now, the method of progression you've had to use is to close down your negative emotions.
Correct.
And only engage your positive emotions.
Correct.
And you've had very severe control of your negative emotions through your intellect.
And it's become so automatic, I don't need to think about it.
It's almost automatic now to do this, right?
Yes, and is that driven by the judgment?
That's driven by the judgment of the emotions, yes. Yeah. You see, when you progress this other way, part of you will start to accept your emotions in the sense that you'll acknowledge their existence. So, for example, you've had to come to acknowledge the existence of your anger.
Yes.
Towards God.
Yes.
And initially you had some anger towards myself, which you had to come to acknowledge existed.
Correct.
Then you had to realise that, wow, that means that we still have emotions within us that we didn't feel we had.
And it wasn't evident in our spirit bodies.
And it wasn't evident in your spirit bodies because you've used your intellect to control the processes, so your spirit body looks fine.
And we've come to the realisation there is something else other than what we see.
Exactly.
And know.
So the soul, which is a container of these emotions, was heavily suppressed. And yet the emotion still existed within it, but you've just used your mind to become more loving. And what I'm suggesting to you is this different form of progression uses your soul to become more loving. The soul itself becomes more loving. In other words, the soul has to release its rage and its anger so that the mind no longer has anything to control.
We feel that we're so dominated by the mind that it feels that it's impossible for us to just give up.
Well, I can see that it's not impossible, but it's going to be difficult because you're so used to using the mind to control your emotions.
And there's so many of us that we work together.
Exactly, and that's part of the reason why it's difficult too, is because you have all this this social pressure to use your mind to dominate your emotions. And this is where a different environment would be more conducive to your progression. See, if you were in the third dimension and spent more time with a group of people who were connecting to their emotions in a more ready manner, and who were less judgmental of the connection to those emotions than the sixth dimension is, then what you would find is you'd probably more readily get into your emotions and therefore see what they are, and then with the help of some celestial spirits, they'll be able to show you how to experience those emotions in a manner to release them.
We're comforted by the assurance that you provided earlier on.
Mm-hmm. And the assurance that you can always go back to where you were.
Yes, that we won't lose.
Yeah.
The condition that we're currently in.
You can't.
Because that is part of ourselves. And although we do not see it or we're not aware of it, it's still part of, as you call it, our souls.
That's correct.
So whilst I've been talking to you, the rest of us have been debating that.
Yeah.
And we all feel reassured by that.
Yes.
And we've received some evidence to prove that.
Yeah. The reality is, with regard to that, that you can always return to the sixth dimension, right? Because you already know how to do that. So you're not going to lose that. But my suggestion is that you need to be in an environment that is more conducive to allowing the emotions to be present. And at the moment, the sixth sphere environment still is heavily intellectually dominant, which means that you get a lot of pressure from your environment to look down upon and judge your emotion. And as a result of that, it's going to be very difficult to fully acknowledge the real emotions in you that exist towards God. And it's only by acknowledging and feeling those emotions that exist towards God that you're going to ever develop a desire or longing for God's love to enter you. And so this is the conundrum you face. While you remain in the sixth dimension, dominated by the intellect and dominated by the social environment of preventing you from feeling emotion, it's going to be very, very difficult for you to fully acknowledge the emotions in the process.
There is also another large factor. It is our teachings, our linkages to the remaining spheres.
Mm-hmm. Well, you lose the degree of prominence that you've had in the past, in the sense that you've often visited lower dimensions and often got feelings of glory and attention and approval from those dimensions because of your condition. And to a degree, you now having to go and visit one of those spheres for a longer period of time means that you're going to have to learn to be humble.
And step down with those people.
Exactly. You're going to have to live with those people for a while rather than think you're better than those people.
Can you see the difficulty?
Well, I can see the difficulty, but to me it's not a very huge one.
We understand that.
The feeling of humility is not something that I find a difficult feeling to develop. So while I understand your difficulty in developing it, the reality is there's a lot more joy and humility than you can ever imagine.
If we did venture down into those spheres and were truthful with the individuals
mm-hmm.
within occupying those spheres,
mm-hmm.
would we not receive a lot of condensation and projections from them?
You mean condescension?
Yeah. Condescension
yeah.
for our actions. So how would that provide an environment for us to be able to feel?
We may receive condescension.
Okay, it's a possibility.
It's a possibility. And if you do, then the person who is being condescending with you is not being loving to you, and therefore they are not going to progress very rapidly while they hold on to that emotion with you.
So you are saying for us simply to undertake this activity for ourselves, irrespective of what occurs around us
yes.
and to us.
Yes. And in fact, to embrace that process, understanding that God actually wants to take you by the hand and lead you through this process so this whole area of yourself, this soul-based area of yourself, which you've been quite close to up until this point, will open up and then enable you to understand far more things than you currently can understand with just using your mind.
We've been thinking a fair bit about God.
Mm-hmm.
One of the major questions that we have is, what is God's plan for us, for this dimension that we live and reside in?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couple of things I can do here. One is that I can talk about God's plan for the sixth dimension, but the reality is your question is given because of an emotion, and I'll be better off actually addressing the emotion you have as to why you asked the question. You see, it's far better, you're far better off connecting to God and asking God what her plan is than you are asking me what God's plan is.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Yes.
It's a bit like, if you get information through me, you're going to get it third hand and still not be convinced. Whereas if you connect to God directly, then anything God tells you, you will be convinced of that.
So it's our fear of what will happen to us.
Yes.
That's what I need to connect to.
What you need to allow yourself to feel. You see, if I can just put to you that anger actually covers over fear. So you know how you've had emotions of anger arise towards God, you've had emotions of anger arise towards myself. These emotions of anger cover over the next layer of emotions, which are the emotions of fear. So while you deny the anger, you will never get to the fear. But if you allow the anger to be present and feel it, then you'll be able to start discovering underneath the anger what is the fear that generates this anger inside of you. Does that make sense?
So is this the process that occurred for the ones who were teaching us?
Yes. The ones who are in the seventh sphere and above have had to engage this process.
The process did not take long for them.
It doesn't have to take very long at all. In fact, you could easily undertake these processes within a few, you know, weeks or even months of earth time. You could undertake these processes if you fully engage them. The issue you face is the potential of you fully engaging them is still quite low because of your intellect being so dominant.
We understand. Very encouraged.
Do you have any more questions?
There are a lot of questions, but we feel that we just need to step back for a while.
Well, can I make a suggestion to you? There are many celestial spirits who live in the eighth dimension and above who have had to go through this exact same process that you're now faced with. In other words, this process of giving up the intellectual dominance and the self-reliance and going into this place of soul-based emotional dominance and God-reliance. And they've had to go through this process from your perspective. They've had to, you know, go through the process of making this transition from the sixth dimension, from the sixth sphere. My suggestion is for you to listen to them about the process they had to go through. Now, what I'm going to do is invite some spirits who had a fair degree of anger towards God as a part of this process, and also who had quite a lot of judgment about emotion as well, to come and assist you so that they can understand the process that you need to go through. What you will need to do, if you're willing to engage this, is you will need to be very humble to what they're saying to you. In other words, be very open emotionally to understanding what they're saying to you, rather than trying to argue with them all the time. Whenever you go into attempts to argue with them, they are going to feel your resistance to change, and they would rather spend their time with somebody else who has less resistance to change. Does that make sense?
So the criteria is still the same. I must desire that.
You must desire that.
Yeah. And the individuals that you speak of, mm-hmm. will they have an exact correlation of condition to myself?
They will have very similar correlation of condition, and in the past, not now. Their condition now is very different, but what I'm saying is when they lived in the sixth dimension where you currently live, they had a very, very similar feeling as to what you have currently. So would you like to meet them?
I'd like to experiment.
Okay. So let's ask a few of them to meet you. Now, can you please bear in mind that they will not waste their time with people who argue with them all the time? Does that make sense?
We understand.
Yeah.
It's a habit.
I know it's a habit, but the reality is that it's a habit that needs to break. If the people are brighter than yourself, then you need to start to trust that they are in a better condition than yourself and therefore know more than yourself. And The reality is it doesn't matter how simple they look to you and how simple their backgrounds are and how simple they look as people to you. The reality is they do know more than you, and they do understand more than you, and they do understand particularly more about God than you do. And so my suggestion is, if you could open your mind at least to that, it will help you a lot in listening to them.
There are a number of us here who are willing to experiment. There are a lot who are unsure, who will simply observe.
Well, can I suggest to the ones who are unsure and want to observe that the longer you are unsure and want to observe it will be the longer it takes for you to experience a new condition. So as long as you're aware that you're actually sacrificing yourself by just sitting back and observing, then that's fine. But my suggestion to you is no longer sit back and just observe and intellectualise. Engage a process of experimentation that's different to the process of experimentation you've engaged up to now. And if you do that, you will benefit immensely from those processes, and you will not be, you know, we won't be having another conversation of a similar nature in 6 months' time.
Some of them are starting to embrace it. There are so many individuals here who have appeared who are actually encouraging them as well. We are encouraging them as well.
Yeah. So what I'd like to do now is just leave you in the hands of our celestial friends who can help you through this process. And if you can just remember those things I've stated to you about being open to their guidance, I feel that many of you will progress very rapidly.
Thank you very much, and I intend to help them as well. Open up to these individuals standing for us. Thank you.
No worries, it's lovely to me.
Come on.
Again.